Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the East Village Times San Diego State podcast, where we talk all about San Diego State sports. I'm Jason Freund. I'm joined by
Evan Anderson. How's it going, Jason?
It's going pretty good. My prediction for the Super Bowl was correct. I thought the Buccaneers were going to pull it off. I didn't want them to see him pull it off, but when Patrick Mahomes is literally limping around and being eaten for lunch, dinner, after dinner snack, and dessert, and it kind of tends to happen. But it's been a good time, other than, you know, being hounded by homework. Thank you, professors, and thank you for no spring break. Thanks, State. Thank you for that. How about you?
Pretty good. I'm disappointed. So, University of New Mexico, they backed out of the last two games. That's why we didn't have a podcast. Their reasoning was scared. But that stunk a lot. We couldn't record a podcast if we didn't have content.
I mean, they tried to reschedule, but we're coming across the end of the season now. There's four games left. Those New Mexico games would have been really nice tune-ups, considering the fact that we've done nothing but slaughter our opponents since Utah State.
We're on a six-game win streak. I would bet that would have been two easy wins for SDSU. So eight-game win streak is a big deal right now.
Eight-game win streak. I could have put the Aztecs on top 25.
Yeah, big time. But they continued this win streak against San Jose State, beating them twice.
Beat them twice. Yeah, beat them twice. This wasn't just a beating. This was an absolute. This is an absolute domination on the basketball court. Let's look at the highlights here. All right. Do I have the first game up correctly? Yes, I do. I didn't want to be that guy who has the wrong box score up. A guy who's been starting to come into his own recently, starting to refine that old shooter form, Jordan Shackle. 25 minutes on the court, he made 4 3-pointers and all of his free throws, and he took home 23 points on the court. Have yourself a day, Jordan Shackle. Nathan Mensah with 12 points and 9 rebounds. He almost got that double-double. He actually had 7 of those were offensive rebounds. I actually think that's just kind of cool. And kind of coming out of nowhere, Joshua Tomaic got 12 points with 7 rebounds. Wasn't really expecting him to have a big game, but he did. And then Keshawn Johnson also, he had 13 rebounds for San Diego State. Evan, this was just another amazing game by San Diego State.
Yeah, so this was a streak of 30-plus scoring margin for the total score. This was an 85-54 game.
I think
SDSU, like, breaks into some record with 5 other teams as the only teams ever to have, like, 5 straight wins with a 30-or-plus scoring margin. That's kind of insane. This is not the Aztecs that I have watched for most of my life. I'm sure you haven't seen them either. In the days of Coach Fisher, it was defense first, still is with Dutcher. But games would, you know, the winner of the game would get 60 points, not 85.
Well, I think that one of the biggest things here is turnovers, because San Diego State in this game, the first game, had 5 turnovers in comparison to 15 by San Jose State. And looking at second chance points, San Diego State had 16 second chance points, 34 points in the paint, and off turnovers, 26. Let's look at San Jose State numbers, shall we? Second chance points, a whopping 4 points in the paint, 14 bench points, 12, and points off of turnovers, 7. This was not only an excellent game, they dominated, and literally every aspect of this game was dominated by San Diego State.
Yeah, and I think what really highlights this, fans need to go online if they haven't already seen it and just look up Keshawn Johnson dunks. In both these games, he had like 4 dunks that I was surprised the hoop was still up and that it just wasn't shattered into a million pieces after he just absolutely dunked the ball. 3 times, I believe.
He's just so athletic. For someone who is that size to be that athletic should be criminal. And the fact that it wasn't on SportsCenter either, top 10 SportsCenter, had 3 massive dunks, not on SportsCenter. I mean,
Give us some respect, ESPN. Come on.
Come on. I know there's a bias to the East Coast. I know you don't like watching West Coast games because you can't sleep or something. You're so tired. But come on. Put some respect on Keshawn Johnson's name, please.
Absolutely. Otherwise, we're going to have him tackle you. He's 6'6". Probably he could be a linebacker in football. I just still think he's an insane athlete. We're going to have him tackle you, ESPN.
He probably could. He could be like a WWE wrestler if he wanted to. He could probably do that. That's how athletic this man is.
Yeah. We got to talk about Shackle, as you mentioned. Oh, yes, sir. This is a quote from a second game post-conference, but I think it applies to both.
I mean, you have to have confidence to play this game. I think everyone on this team has confidence in. I mean, that doesn't really go through our minds. You know, you just got to keep shooting, keep playing, keep being aggressive. If you don't have an aggressive mindset, then you shouldn't be on the court. That's how I look at it. So you just got to keep being aggressive, everyone.
He talked about you got to have confidence in this game and you got to be aggressive. If you're not confident and aggressive, you're just not going to succeed. Shackle for a little bit of this season was in a funk where I can't say he was bad, but he wasn't the elite scorer that we all know him to be. And he has returned to form. Once Matt Mitchell went down with that injury, this became Shackle's team to lead. And he's taken over that role. Two 20-point games. Spoiler alert, he scores 20-plus in the second game. But just super good scoring. 9-for-9 free throws. Could not miss. I love that.
This is what we come to expect from Jordan Shackle. This is what fans come to expect. This is what his coaches have come to expect. And it's what he's come to expect. This is the type of game Jordan Shackle is coming to the court to have every single time he steps onto this court to play the game of basketball. This is what he wants in every game. And he's finally starting to see that stroke again, that shooting stroke again. It's kind of like what I said in an earlier podcast. Just got to keep taking your shots. Eventually, they're going to start falling in. And now they're starting to fall in for Jordan Shackle.
Yeah, you know, I'll keep this comparison. He is Klay Thompson-esque. He's showing it. He shoots that three really well. He plays some good defense. He even had three steals in this game. That's something that I don't think he shows too often.
No, he's not much of a guy who would pilfer the basketball. I mean, he's just becoming more of an all-around player. He's starting to finally get a few more aspects into his game right there. And I think you're kind of right. He kind of is like a little bit of the Klay Thompson of this game. He's kind of like the glue that's kind of holding them together so far.
Mm-hmm. So other players to highlight, we got to go to the bench. You mentioned San Jose's bench scored 12 points. Joshua Tomai scored 12 points by himself off the bench. Scored their entire bench. And so he was one of the transfers, the two big transfers to come over. Him and Terrell Gomez. That was supposed to fill the void that Malachi Flynn left. But so Tomai, he was going to become the backup center or big man. I don't really know if you call Mensah a center in some cases, but the backup big man. And he put up, let's see, he was 8-for-12 free throws. I love when players make their free throws. 7 rebounds, 12 points. He has stepped up. While I think Mensah, those few altitude games, he got a little bit tired. The season's taking a little bit of a wear and tear on him. Tomáš has been getting more minutes because he's earned them, to be clear. Mm-hmm. Tomáš has absolutely earned them.
Yeah, 18 minutes in this game. That's a high number, especially for Joshua Tomai. He doesn't really get those numbers a lot. Oh, no, 19 minutes. He's got 19 minutes. I was looking at another player.
Yeah, but it's good to see a bench player stepping up, I think.
Definitely. And I think Lamont Butler had kind of his he definitely had an off game. In this first one, it was off for him.
Yeah, could this be his first bad game? I hate to say it. We are fans of Butler. He is going to be a great player. But 1-for-9, shooting, 0 for 5 from deep. Still got 5 rebounds, a couple assists, a steal. But is this growing pains?
Yeah, yeah, they're growing pains. It's, you know, he's a freshman. He will have these kind of games. I'm not exactly worried about it because I know he still has a lot of things to work on. He was over 5 on 3-point shots. He took a lot of threes in this game.
Which, to just quickly tack on, I don't think he's attempted more than 3. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I don't think he's attempted more than 3 3-pointers in a game.
You could be right. Mm-hmm. You definitely could be right. But yeah, that's look, it's kind of concerning, but at the same time, I'll worry about it more if these trends continue into his sophomore and junior year. But now, because he's a freshman, I'm going to say pump the brakes on him on it for now. These are growing pains. That's my final verdict.
Yeah. And for me, that wraps up the first game. If you're ready to move on to the second, I'm there.
All you.
Okay, so this game, they did not hit the 30 scoring margin. They had to settle for a 22-point margin. Boo-hoo.
Shame, shame.
They finished 77-55. Still absolutely great game. Shackle put up 24 points. Tego 13. Butler did have his bounce-back game, put up 11. Let's see, Matt Mitchell, 7. Tomaic, 7. Still good.
Yeah. I'd say that's still a good overall game for San Diego State. And again, we can kind of look at more of, again, there's a lot more of the same trends in this game. Second chance points for San Diego State, 17. Am I looking at the right game?
I am.
Second chance points, 17. Fast break, 17. Points in the paint, 34. Points off of turnovers, 13. And bench points, 25. Again, this is, again, San Diego State forcing more turnovers, as we've seen previously. San Jose State had 14 turnovers. San Diego State had only 6 this entire time. It's the same formula they had last time. Jordan Shackle going off a game, going back to turnovers, causing a lot of turnovers, and the bench stepping up to collect some points. And we even saw Keith Dinwiddie Jr. He returned for a little bit. He only played in 3 minutes, but he's still there.
Yeah, that's great to see. One thing I want to talk about with this game, it's a bit of a throwback theme to last year. This was a better second half team. Like, mm-hmm. there is a clear difference. Field goal percentage in the first half, 36.36%. 3-point percentage in the first half, 20%. In the second half, for field goal percentage, 42.5%. And then 41.18% for 3-point percentage. Clearly better in the second half. And to be fair, San Jose was, you could say, in this game in the first half. I believe they were down 6 going into halftime.
Yeah, they were down 6. That's good. Yeah, they were down 6.
Yeah. So, granted, everyone saw the game before. That meant the game was probably out of reach. They had to get some miracles together because SDSU did have a bad first half. And they were expected to get better. But they did get better. That's what I'm happy about. They absolutely stepped up in the second half. They made adjustments after San Jose made adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
They got their butts kicked and said, okay, let's not do that. That's not fun. San Jose came out a little bit of a different strategy. They were more aggressive on the boards. They were contesting a lot more shots. You know, there weren't easy shots to take, and that shows in the low field goal percentages. In the second half, SDSU found a way to get the guys open, to be a little bit more aggressive on the boards. Good job by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like you just kind of like hit every point that I want to talk about this game. It's weird because State is such a second half team. It's honestly, even going back to last year, like, I don't know what Coach Dutcher is doing in the court and in the locker room during halftime. Like, He must have like that he must have like that water from a Space Jam. Remember like the Michael's secret stuff that what Bugs Bunny gives to them and they all get like shredded. He must have some of that locked away in like a treasure chest or something. He's like, all right guys, drink your secret stuff and then you'll get a boost like it's Mario Party or something. I don't know how this team is such a good second half team. They always look just like, it's like, you know, it's like, all right, well, they're down, but here comes the second half. It's going to be much better here. So let's see what happens. And then bada bing, bada boom, San Diego State takes advantage and they pull away.
Yeah. No complaints here. I got two free car washes, by the way.
How'd you get that?
Sophie Joe's does a little, if SDSU holds the other team to below 60 points on home games, you can sign up for it and you get a free car wash.
For real?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, two free car washes this game.
Looking at my car, I don't think I have to get a car wash soon. I think I'm good on that, so.
Nature's been doing that for us this week.
I never gave my weather update.
Give us your weather update, please.
All right, so, mostly cloudy. There's a little bit of sun out right now, but it's a little cool. I like it. I mean, it's polo weather, and this is my favorite polo here. I know people can't see it, but it's a kind of like a charcoal gray when it's kind of striped. It's really nice. It's comfy. It's like the best thing. I wear it with jeans. It's one of my better outfits.
I see it. It looks good. Thank goodness the listeners know what the weather is on Valentine's Day in San Diego.
What day is it today? I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Singles Day International, you mean?
Yeah, Singles Day International, Single Kings International Day.
No, let's go back to the game.
Yeah.
It's a recurring segment, I think, now with me. Terrell Gomez, was he hot or was he off? And he was hot this game. The first game, he put up, 3 points.
Three points the first game. And then second game, what did he do in the second game? I don't know. 13 points, five rebounds.
Five rebounds. And the crazy thing is, he only shot two threes. This man drove to the basket and was scoring. He is 2 feet tall, maybe? No, I can't say that.
this man coming up here is standing at like 5'10", staring up at these other centers like, nah, I'll take you on. Let's do this.
He's 5'8". I looked it up. But for a basketball player, that's not that tall. But he was being aggressive. He got to the line. But he did the weirdest thing all year, or maybe all career. He missed a free throw.
That's impossible.
In the post-game conference, I'm going to have the clip play probably right now. Okay, clip has played. Let's just say that. But he said that he's maybe gone on and made hundreds of free throws, I believe his quote was. And that he just won't miss. But he missed one this game.
He must have been like having like some popcorn or something on the side. It's like, oh, what the hell just happened? But looking at his hands, like he just woke up from a bad dream. He's like, did that just happen to me? That never happens.
No, we're just messing with him. I think that was only his 7th free throw attempt all season. And, you know, all zero fans at the Viejas Arena were probably giving him a hard time.
His teammates probably gave him a little bit of slack for it. It's like they probably started like, you know, they're like, hey, you missed a free throw, buddy. Hey, you tried. Oh, ha ha ha. Kind of like laughing and joking around with them. It's a good locker room environment.
One thing I'm happy to see, AG's back. He's AG kind of always been here, back. But hopefully he's back for good.
AG, he had a slight bout of vertigo, it happens, everyone gets vertigo, he got hurt a little bit in the beginning of the season, then he got vertigo, he's missed a few games, lost his starting spot, But, you know, he's always going to be the guy who comes to work every day, no matter what his role is. That's, he's a very good role player for San Diego State University. And he's just a really humble guy once you actually get to know him. So I'm glad AG is getting some success.
One thing I love about AG, he's just a hustle player. He might not be the most talented player. Just fair criticism of him. But he hustles like no other on the court. In the first game, he did play in the first game, 5 offensive rebounds. In the second game, 3 offensive rebounds. He wants the ball. He's going to go get it. I just love the hustle and the energy he brings. Even if, you know, he's not going to be a top scorer for us, I would be surprised if he ever does that. He might not get the most rebounds in the game for us, but he's going to wear down the other team with his energy.
I agree. There's nothing else I can add to that because I agree with what you said.
Oh yeah. Then you mentioned Keaton Witte back 3 minutes, and in those 3 minutes, he managed to take 3 three-pointers. Unfortunately, missed all of them, but I believe this was still a continuation of this little hip injury that he's had.
Yeah, he's been a little banged up this season.
Podcast, I want 100, and he's going to be the guy to get us to 100. He's going to come in. Dutch is going to give him those minutes later in the game, and he's going to take those 3, and one day he'll just make them all.
He's got the potential. If anyone's going to get us to 100 points, it's probably going to be Keith Dinwiddie Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I can foresee it happening. I can already see it happening, like my little crystal ball that I just manifested in front of me that you can't see. But yes, like looking into it, I can tell that there's going to be a 100-point game, and it's going to be thanks to Keith Dinwiddie Jr.
Yeah. And so does that wrap up your thoughts on these 2 games? Any last second thoughts?
That wraps it up. Just wrapped up in a nice little bow.
Okay. And so I'm looking into your crystal ball right now. I can see yours. Don't worry.
Okay.
And 4 weeks from now, today of the day of us recording, I believe is Selection Sunday for March Madness.
Yes, indeed. You are correct.
So we got to start looking at this. There's a chance that SDSU only has 4 more games. The NCAA has told conferences they can host a championship game or a little tournament, but they don't have to. And they can choose who to send as their automatic bid to the game. And right now, I don't believe SDSU is at the top of our conference, right? Because we've missed 2 games.
Let me see. Mountain West. Let's see here. Mountain West basketball standings. Let's see. What do we got? Looks like Utah State's in front.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a little bit in front right now. Those 2 games against New Mexico would have helped us.
Thanks, New Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, geez. The show's going to give them a rough time whenever fans are back. The one nice thing right now is SDSU is ranked 24th in net, which is huge. I think we're ahead of Utah State. We're top team in the conference.
Yeah, we are actually, we're ahead of Utah State. We're ahead of Boise State because SDSU right now is at 24. The next closest team is Boise State at 37. This is the net rankings, by the way. This isn't the AP top 25. This is the net rankings. They're actually, Utah State has SDSU in front of them. They have Boise State in front of them. And they have Colorado State in front of them. Yeah, Colorado State for the win, for the brand representing. They actually beat San Diego State in 1 game. But then State came out to beat them the 2nd game. So, I mean, that's good. But those 2 losses to Utah State are honestly really tough. Those are tough.
Well, so I want to just break down just the slightest bit because I'm not a net expert by any means. But there may be some people saying, like, I've heard of net. I understand that being high in net rankings are good. But what does it mean? So it breaks down. It's the, like, strength of schedule. There used to be different metrics for that, but net has overtaken it. You have certain wins, like, so if there's a team in quad 1, if you beat that team, it's better than beating the team in quad 2. SDSU, believe it or not, is 0-3 in quad 1 games.
Now they're you're right. 0-3 in quad one games. You are correct.
Yeah, but then we've only lost one game in quad two, three, or four, which so a loss in quad two, three, or four is a lot worse than a loss in quad one. It's strength of schedule, it's how much you're beating these teams. That's really helped SDSU. These huge scoring margins show that, you know, if you're playing a bad team, you don't want it to come down to the wire when you win by 5 points. You want to win by 25 points.
Yeah, the bigger the – basically, it's like when you're playing, like, NBA 2K on the easiest difficulty. You just want to keep ramping up as many points as you can.
Yeah, yeah. So that's been helping SDSU out, and that is why they are ranked higher than Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
They beat ASU. They beat UCLA. Two big-time teams right now.
Yeah.
Actually, they're not considered quad one teams, though, so I can't say how big they are. Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah, no, you're right. You are definitely right. So where does that bring SDSU in the oh my God, think, Jason, think. NCAA tournament, where does that leave them?
So quick little type into Google search. ESPN Joe Lunardi, a bracketologist, which I love how that's like a title, you're a bracketologist. he puts SDSU at ninth, as a 9 seed. We'd be facing Loyola Chicago. That's his projected standings as of 2 days ago. If he were to make a bracket, that's where he's at right now. And so it looks like even if SDSU is not going to get the automatic bid, we're going to be up there. And let me actually try to find if he has Utah State in as the automatic bid.
I'm not really sure, to be honest.
I'm not seeing them. So maybe he's saying that SDSU eventually wins it all. I don't know.
Let me see. Hold on. I think I can find this out. Hang on a minute. No, he has Utah State as the automatic qualifier.
Okay.
Yeah, he has SDSU at 9 facing Loyola Chicago, Utah State at 12 facing Oklahoma, and I think...
Oh, I see that. Oh, there's Boise State at 11 in that same bracket.
Yeah, Boise State 11 facing Creighton, and looks like Colorado State in the first 4 out of 12.
Okay, there we go. We've gone through... This is obviously just one bracket. There, in the next 4 weeks, there will be millions of brackets. Not millions, but a bunch of people will be changing these around. It's a subjective bracket. So just because we're high on that net ranking doesn't mean we're going to fit in exactly where net places us.
Yeah. I mean, the next closest team in the net rankings in the Mountain West, I mean, let's see here. Just good old-fashioned control F. God, good Lord. Nevada at 105. So, yeah, it looks like there's going to be, if everything works out, there's going to be 4 Mountain West teams going to the NCAA tournament. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. That'd be very good for the Mountain West.
But please, just give us a tournament.
Yeah, just
give us a tournament. I would have I would have begged to go see Malachi Flynn, see all those great players last year with the best SDSU team in March Madness. I can't say we got snubbed because we didn't play it, but it feels like the best chance for SDSU to ever win it all was just taken away last season.
Yeah, that was our moment. It was our shining moment, and we got screwed. San Diego State got... They got the raw end of the stick on that one. It's not fair, but you know what? Life isn't fair.
Yeah, but redemption time.
Kind That's of. Right.
Everyone wants redemption.
That's right, a little bit of redemption. Hey, maybe we can go Sweet 16. Maybe we'll actually beat that number one seed. It could be possible. Anything's possible. I mean, we just saw number one seed lose, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
In the first round? UMBC.
Yeah, that was something.
UMBC, them Kings taking care of business.
Hey, North Carolina A&T. I see you're projected to face Gonzaga or Prairie View A&M. The show, I'm sure, would love if you kicked out Gonzaga.
Ooh, that'd be very nice.
I think you will have a cheering section at SDSU called The Show. I know the show's been egging them on, wanting to take Gonzaga.
The show has been very vocal about their desires for Gonzaga. That'd be cool though. I wouldn't mind facing Gonzaga.
Yeah, that could be a fill-in game. Dutcher has expressed wanting to play a team with a higher net ranking. He does follow net. I think Colorado would be a good fit. They're a higher team than us. We have the relationship of playing them with a makeup game in football. I haven't checked the schedules, but I'm hoping they can work out. Just geography-wise, they're on the western part of the United States, so it's not much travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how the schedules really work out. So if the schedules do work in everyone's favor, I could see a good Colorado's. Oh my God, I almost said Colorado State. I could see them facing Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could work out.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Mr. Anderson?
Not on the basketball front, but another sport that you and I do follow for SDSU is coming up, or another sport in general we follow, but SDSU's baseball season is coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They got some pretty good prospects, don't they?
Yeah. So EVT, we're going to have some exciting content hopefully coming from this baseball side. Hopefully we can have people on the ground at these games. But we did just interview Coach Mark Martinez, and just previewing the season, he talks just about the dedication for these players. It'll be tough with the COVID season. You know, they can't have the social life that they usually would. And they're going to have to deal with a lot of restrictions, weird traveling. But I want to play this clip that Mark Martinez had of Troy Mellon, a player that I personally will be putting out some articles on because he's great. Here's the clip.
Really, it's as simple as it gets. Is he just needs to be himself. You know, I think all the training, all that's the leading up to this point, the hay's in the barn, so to speak. He's good. He's an exceptional player. Anytime that he scuffles a little bit, he gets outside of himself. So if he just maintains that mentality, is trust who he is, be himself, he's going to be just fine. He's an ultra competitor, which is great to have, you know, especially for a Friday night guy. He's a great athlete to have. He can fill his position, all that stuff. He has plus pickoff move. If he just is himself, great things are going to come his way, not only for our baseball program, but for him personally. If he gets outside of that, that's where you're going to see some of his scuffles. But, you know, he's a guy that is still very, very young in his pitching pedigree, so to speak. He was a catcher in high school by trade. So he still has a lot of meat on the bone, and that guy's really good right now, you know, and what's kind of sad about it, we might not ever get to see the best Troy Melton at San Diego State. We're going to see that maybe 5 years down the road, somewhere in the big leagues, but he's pretty good. If he maintains and just he's just himself, great things are going to happen for him and our baseball program.
Yeah. So he's great. He's projected to be pitcher of the year. D1 Baseball has him listed as the 79th best college prospect going into this upcoming draft. Baseball America projects first baseman Jaden Feen. I don't know if he's supposed to be first base, but supposed to be player of the year. Then they got lucky. Wyatt Hendry was supposed to go into the draft last year, but the shortened MLB draft made it so that he just didn't quite make the cut, so he returned, but it's going to be a great team. SDSU is projected to be the best team in the conference. A lot of good players who do have some MLB draft potential, so we will be covering that. We will hopefully be at games, and we'll be getting some interviews.
That's right. Hopefully we can get some good, some good content come your way. That's what we always strive to do here at EBT.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a small breakdown. The season starting. once the season starts and we have some actual content, we will be hopefully putting it all on this podcast, maybe bringing on some guests. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, we're working things as we go. And plus, we are still two. Well, I know I'm in college. Right? You are still, right?
No, I just graduated college in the middle of this pandemic.
Well, I'm still in college, so I'm still, you know, professors saying, hey, let's just dump all this homework on them right now. Why not? Oh, it's a rest and recovery day? Yeah, we're going to make it due on Tuesday. Oh, no, we're going to have it due on Monday. Screw you. That's what the Adela De La Torre is saying to all of us. So, I'm so done with college. It's there's so much to be done. Good grief, this is going to be so much fun. But speaking of fun, this was a very fun podcast. Thank you again, Mr. Anderson, for joining today on the East Village Times San Diego State Sports Podcast. I am Jason Freund, joined by
Evan Anderson.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. We hope you have a very nice day.